Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doug Deacon, Browns analyst, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Deke, hard to believe. You know, we knew the schedule was tough to start the season, but this is ridiculous. 2-6.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, you know, they've got more talent, but talent doesn't make for a team. And I think you got to learn to play together. And, you know, I was just looking over the stats from yesterday, and if you read the stats, you'd say, boy, the Browns must have won. But, I mean, the first game, they had less penalties than the opponent. You know, they didn't have any turnovers, and you thought, well, those are the two things that have been killing us the last few weeks. But yesterday it was the big play on offense and our inability to get it in on the red zone.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, like, Freddie, to me, it felt like he was patting himself on the back that they got into the red zone a bunch of times. The goal of the game, I'm not sure if Freddie knows this, the goal of the game is not who has the most red zone possessions, it's scoring touchdowns. And they just, they're terrible in the red zone. And last year, they were so good.
Yeah, and I don't know if I could know a reason why. You know, obviously that 4th-and-1 was a very critical play, and, you know, whether the spot was accurate is irrelevant because they didn't give it to him. And, I go back to the days when Blanton Collier was here. He used to say you had to have an attitude play where if you needed 1 yard, you were going to run one play and make sure you got it every time. And, you know, they did a good job of defense. And, we not only got outplayed yesterday by a quarterback with no experience, I think we got outcoached. I mean,
no
defensively,
doubt.
They shut Chubb down, and not many teams can do that.
Yeah, and I actually thought Chubb played pretty well considering his yards per carry wasn't great. I mean, he broke a lot. He could have easily – other running backs, it would have been 20 carries for 30 yards, I think.
And, you know, his yards after contact are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid is a bulldozer, and he's got great speed. And he's, besides that, he's a great kid. But,
yes.
You know, it's just like you got to have a balanced offense of some sort, and yeah, they took the running game away, and then you say the passing game. And the thing is, you know, Von Miller really wasn't a factor yesterday.
No.
Normally, he's the guy that's wreaking havoc all across the board, but they held him without a sack, and when you look on the other side, what they had playing quarterback, a guy getting his first NFL start, he just played within himself, did what he had to do, and he got the ball in the guys that made plays.
Here's what I understand, Dee. The Browns' two best players on offense are Nick Chubb and Odell Beckham. Is that fair to say?
I would say so.
It seems like they rarely, if ever, and certainly almost never with Beckham, go to these guys in the biggest moments. Dontrell Hilliard's on the field. They're throwing to random tight ends. I don't understand. Odell Beckham is like 120-something in the league in red zone targets.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to say the element of surprise is a surprise to us because,
yeah.
You know, as you mentioned, I mean, you've got two playmakers. And that's one of the things that, you know, over the last 8-10 years we've always complained about is the lack of playmakers. But now, you know, we have three legitimate playmakers in Jarvis and Odell and Chubb. And you would think, you know, that's enough to go around. But for some reason, we get down to the red zone. We have troubles. I mean, we're at the bottom of the league when it comes to red zone.
Baker Mayfield, you know, was okay yesterday. I'm not going to say he was terrible. But in the end, he couldn't get him in the end zone more than once. It's not good enough.
Yeah, and I think early on he was a little overwired. He had a lot of zip on the passes, and he wasn't throwing balls that were real catchable. But then he kind of settled down, and I think he ended up throwing like maybe 64% or something like that. But still, I mean, when you look at what we had at quarterback and what they had at quarterback, you would have thought the numbers would have been substantially different.
We're talking with Browns analyst Doug Deacon. As for the defense, you talked about it. The Broncos are starting quarterback who had not played a game outside of the preseason in 4 years. It's been 4 years in college. And he played certainly better than Baker. I was really disappointed in that defensive performance yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, the four big plays just really killed him. I mean, the two runs by Lindsey and then the Font touchdown. I mean, you know, and on the other one, the Sutton touchdown, you got to say Ward was in good position. It was just a matter of the other guy's catch radius was, you know, greater than Denzel's. You're going 5'11 against 6'4". But as far as, you know, the Font, I mean, you missed at least three tackles on the play. And you got to bring the guy down. You can't let that guy go, you know, hit you for seven. It's like the Tennessee game where they came out and they ran a little screen pass to Henry, and that broke our back.
Yeah, and we've seen that. And I think there's a lack of accountability. I think there's an issue here with, you know, and we saw what Whitehead did on social media yesterday, and the behavior by some of the players. Baker last week with the media. It seems like guys, you know, I know they cut him, Whitehead, today. Okay, yeah. Fine, but there's not enough accountability, in my opinion, in this organization.
Well, I think, you know, there's a need for self-discipline within the team, and I think, you know, I do believe Freddie preaches it. I just believe that the players have to take it upon themselves to, you know, to make each other accountable. And you know, that's one of the things when we were in New England last week. You know, I was talking to one of their guys, and they were saying, you know, some of the players just police the locker room themselves. And when you got a young team, sometimes it's tough to get somebody to, you know, say enough. Your best player is Baker. He's struggling a little bit, so it's a little tough for him. Miles Garrett on the other side, but that's not, you know, Miles' personality. I think, you know, you got to get some guys that are going to say, hey, guys, you know, we're sucking, and this is why, and we better improve it, or, you know, we're just this season's gone down the drain.
I mean, it is already. At 2-6, yep. They're not going to the playoffs at 2-6.
No.
It's hard to believe it's this bad. I still can't wrap my head around it totally.
Well, the interesting thing then, you know, if, you know, and hopefully they'll find some chemistry in the last part of the season and, you know, learn to play together. But I think, you know, what they do in the offseason next year is going to be critical to show, you know, how much, you know, this disappointment meant to them.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to comment on it, Doug, if it's fine if you don't want to, but I don't think Freddie's going to be the coach next year. I don't see how he can be. We'll see what happens the final eight games. I think he looks like he's weighing over his head.
Well, I mean, as, you know, a rookie coach that, you know, has really never been a head coach, there's a lot of things on your plate. And, you know, yeah, there's times I think he has definitely struggled.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about players having growing pains. I'm sure a head coach does too. And, you know, personally, I as a player or a former player, Freddie's the kind of guy I would love to play for. I mean, he's a real guy. But, you know, there's a lot going on in during a game that, you know, you got to have, you know, your mind in every aspect of it.
All right, did you at least have a good time out on the road?
Yeah, it was okay. I tell you what, the weather was beautiful. In our movies, a long time ago in Hollywood.
Oh, was that good?
It's kind of interesting. It gets into the Charlie Manson thing, but it's got a different ending to it than what really happened.
Uh-huh.
So it had me intrigued. So then after I watched that, they had a special on Charles Manson. And, I didn't realize the guy was hanging out with the Beach Boys and stuff like that. It kind of entertained me, and I still haven't finished that. Now I'm intrigued for my next road trip to finish that movie.
Go watch the show Mindhunter on Netflix, D.
Okay, we'll do.
It's about serial killers. It's very interesting. It's based on a true story.
Yeah, I don't know if you did. You watch The Evil Genius?
I did not see that one. I think Dustin did.
Yeah, that's from over I think in Erie, PA. That's a different one too.
Creepy stuff. All right, Deke.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
We hope it's better.
Yeah, Doug Deacon, Browns analyst.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.